the end of the song. Hey, you gotta have a sense of humor with these things. Praise the Lord. All right, the youth group is dismissed, and we're going to continue. We're going to continue our journey through the book of Ruth tonight. And if you open your Bibles to Ruth chapter 3, we're going to look in verse 6. Ruth chapter 3. And I'm almost there, so let's look. Ruth chapter 3, verse 6. Let's look at that. And the Bible says here in the book of Ruth, it says, "And she went down onto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet." You ever imagine that? You're sleeping and wake up and there's a woman laid at your feet. "And he said, 'Who art thou?' And she answered, 'I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt, and over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman.' And he said, 'Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the later end than at the beginning. And as much as thou followed thy young men, whether poor or rich.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the integrity of this man, Boaz. And thank you, Lord, for the character of Ruth, Lord. May we desire to be like these people. May we desire to be people of integrity and people of character in a world that we is hard to find those things, Lord. I just pray, bless this night as we study this, continue our study in this book. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, tonight I title this message, "A Man of Integrity." A Man of Integrity. So, Esther and Ruth are the only two books in the Bible named after women. Although the book of Ruth has only four chapters, it contains many vital principles that are important for everyday life. So when you read the book of Ruth, most people come to the conclusion, oh, it's a book about love. Yeah, if you think about it, yeah, love is there. We cannot deny that. But if you begin to dig deep in the book, you see a lot more than love. A love story. There's many things there. So tonight, actually, we're going to look at this subject of integrity, and we see that in the life of a man here. So the story of Ruth and Boaz is compelling and fascinating. Actually, it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's easy read. It's wonderful to read. It blesses your heart to read that. So people often describe the book of Ruth, like I said, as a love story. And although it contains elements of love, as the story unfolds, we're made to realize that it is more than just love, the love between two people in here. The main thing that stands out among these things is the integrity of a man, Boaz. Well, let me tell you this, because we're touching the subject. Integrity is a hard thing to find in our day. Many people today, we live in a world today, and I don't know if you experience this. I do, and I do on a regular basis. Would people just lie right to you, right to your face, and they don't even, you know, it was a day that, you know, their cheeks will get a little red, they will get a little uncomfortable. Today, people just lie, and they write straight face to you. And, you know, you and you're the recipient, you're looking with, and you go, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this person is lying to me. And it happened on a regular basis. We see these things go on. Is that just me or you witness this stuff? It's the society that we live in that people don't think. Anyway, so what? They don't value you as a person or the recipient of what they're saying. So just for the sake, whatever reason, they just lie right in your face to you. So it's so hard to, I mean, You go to a dealership to get a car, and they lie right in your face, and you like you have to watch. I'm not saying all dealers are liars. But you see that. You witness those things. So we live in a world today that character and integrity are hard to find. It is, and let me give you the definition of this. What is integrity? So the word integrity means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. So that's what integrity is, a person of that is honest. Sometimes we think we have to lie because if I'm honest, well, that's not good. I think honesty is a good thing to have. Why don't not be honest with people? Why not tell the truth to people? Why lie? Why living in lies? You know, if we cover things, if we lie about things, then when it's uncovered, then we find ourselves in those of all kinds of trouble to try to resolve it. So why not be honest? I mean, and this goes, I witnessed this all over the place. I mean, I'm out there, Lord, and you look, it's like, what will we come down to this? But it's real, it's in our everyday life. And let me tell you, folks, it comes from the high office in the land to the lowest of the lowest. And it's lying is the coming of the day, and it is no more like try to be a person of integrity or try to be honest. It's just right out. So let me repeat this. What is integrity? The word integrity means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. So the importance of integrity is in man cannot be overemphasized. Like Boaz, a good man must have high morals and be honest and upright in his ways. For an example, all right, we have married people here. If you're not a person of integrity with your family, you think you're going to go very far with that? No, I mean, you know, at least that's the way my mom and dad taught me and the way my grandma and my grandfather taught me. Actually, not just they taught me, I witnessed in their own lives because, you know, I'm witness there. I live with my mom and dad. I was pretty much lived in my grandpa's house because I was always there. And I saw that. It's like there was no walls between them. It was open book. It's like, you know, they were living together. Their lives was transparent. So if a person is not honest, look what's going to happen. They're going to put a wall, and that wall is this part is mine, this part is yours. And then when it comes to confrontation, it's going to be lying there. So it's going to be dishonesty. And this happens all the time. We live in a world today that, you know, you see that. I listen, folks, I hear that every single day. She doesn't need to know that. Oh, he doesn't need to know that. Oh, why not? To a point today, to be honest with you, that these things right here, which we call cell phones, right? Your wife, the wife finds out the password. The next day, he's changing the password. And he goes, then she goes, why did you change the password? It's my phone. Or I'm yours and you're mine, so the phone is ours, right? But we don't see. There was a day that's the way it was, right? For an example, in my house, I don't call my car and her car. I call our cars. You know, I mean, am I old-fashioned? I'm talking about marriage right now because our marriage go up together if there's no honesty between one another. It's got to be honesty. So, for an example, my wife knows how to password. Sometimes I'm at work, I say, honey, could you go on my computer and do this for me there or look at this for me? She knows the password. Obviously, if I tell her to go, it's because she knows the password. So it's why we do this. We have to have an open book and going to be honest to towards one another. So, and we are people of, if we have nothing to hide, then you won't. It doesn't matter if you don't have to be scared if the person's going to look at it. But people say, oh, but it's personal. All right. Okay. In a marriage, which is not like this, which is yours is mine, or which is mine. That's not the way marriage works. All right? Marriage works like this. What is yours is mine. What mine is yours, right? It's us together. But see, we live in a different society today. We live in a society today like you pay your bills, I pay my bills, and you know. And I tell you why. Wonder why it's so many problems. I mean, if it works for you, fine. I'm not going to judge you or contradict or say I don't agree with you. If it works for you, fine. But I don't know how it worked with me personally. So since my wife and I have been married, what is hers is mine. What is mine is hers. It's us. So integrity is something that we learn to have integrity. And I think integrity and honesty is when we, if you care enough about people, we are honest with them. I mean, I don't want to be caught in a lie towards my wife. How she's going to say, why are you lying to me? What about my brother Robert, right? I don't want to be caught in a lie with him or anybody else here. So we are honest with each other. And honesty goes a long way. Obviously, we live in a world today that we don't see a lot of that. Sometimes you even go to the doctor, you wonder if he's telling you the truth. Oh, goodness. What can one learn learn from Boaz tonight? So the main behavior of a man who possesses integrity could be found in Boaz. This behavior included showing respect to everyone, putting the needs of others above their own, offering to help others in need, taking responsibility for one's actions, and being honest of all things, and being humble in all times. So Boaz's first reaction to Ruth was not charm, but protection. He wanted to protect her without having any thought of sexual immorality, thereby highlighting herself as a man of integrity. So when he wakes up in the middle of the night and is a woman laid at his feet, the thought of sexual things, it was not there. He was a man of integrity. He asked the question, "Who are you?" He didn't try to take advantage of her. Yeah, you know why? Because he was a godly man. He was a man of respect and of integrity. He's trying to find out why she is there. And he asked a question to her. So the spies being attracted to Ruth, which he was, she was attracted to him and he liked her. He knew there was another man ahead of him for Naomi's land and Ruth. So Boaz was more than happy to oblige if the man wanted to have the property, and which would grant him the right to Ruth as well. Now think about it. This man liked Ruth. But this man knew there was another man, another kinsman ahead of him. But this man was so full of integrity and honesty, this man was willing to let the other one take them if it was necessary. That's a lot of integrity and honesty. He didn't try to go around and corrupt those ways to get what he wanted. That's when we trust the Lord, isn't it? I believe probably prayed, "Lord, I know there's a man ahead of me, but I pray that I like her. So why don't you spare her for me?" And I tell you what, when we pray with the heart of honesty, God answers those things. And so he didn't let Ruth leave after their conversation in the middle of the night to protect her reputation because she was a woman of noble character. Neither did he think of taking advantage of her here. He was a gentleman, even in a vulnerable position, and did the right thing. So listen to me, folks. There's a lot of men in our world, but not a lot of gentlemen. I feel bad for the ladies today. There's a lot of men out there, but not a lot of gentlemen. I think when a man loves a woman or likes a woman, he should be the greatest gentleman that is to be. Not just when he dates a woman, but for the rest of their lifetime. I tell these guys, you guys are married, you know, date your wife. Make her feel important in your life. You have to. We got to. Not just sit in the sofa and say, "Oh, remember when we used to do that?" What about doing that now? Okay? Oh, remember the place we used to go? Oh, don't we go now? So what integrity does for your relationship? What integrity does for your relationship? Integrity is crucial in fostering and healthy and fulfilling relationship. For any relationship to work, it needs to be anchored in a strong principle of integrity. Integrity allows you to do what is right in all times, being humble and honest, and looking out for others. Let me tell you. All right. In a marriage, it goes like this. Husband, your wife comes before you. Husband, your children come before you. You're the last one. Wife, your husband comes before you. Wife, your children come before you. You know what that means? They have a servant's heart. When we embrace marriage with a servant's heart, that marriage is headed for blessings. I'm not saying financial blessings. It may not be. But the joy of being together. And now we see that here. Before these two get married, we see the integrity of this man towards this woman. So without integrity in a relationship, there is a bound to destruct and disunity in that relationship. If you do not have integrity in your relationship will likely fail when you encounter challenge and difficulties. So let's look at the character of Boaz from several points tonight. I'll tell you what, here's one thing that you and I need to learn tonight. Learn from Boaz. What a good example. Listen, those stories in the Bible for our example. So we can look at it, these stories, and say, wow, I want to be like this man. I'm not like him, but I want to pattern. I have the character of this man. Or be a man of character just like Boaz was. So Boaz prescribed respect. Boaz prescribed respect. Isn't that wonderful when a man prescribed respect? He goes to the place of work, they respect him there. He goes to the family's house, they respect him there. His home, he's respected there. It's wonderful. But listen, respect is earned. You don't just walk in and say, oh, respect me. No. Respect is earned. How you earned respect? By the life that you live. If you're a person of integrity, upright, honest, and humble, I tell you what, people's going to respect you for that. Some guys think that they have to be rude and be the ruling like tyrants in the house in order to get respect. Some people whenever actually ask their kids, or some guys or some husbands, never ask their kids, I'm sorry, when they're wrong. Because they think, duh, they're not going to respect. They're going to think I'm weak. I tell you what, my kids, many times through their childhood that I sat with them and say, you guys forgive daddy, I was wrong. It's a humble thing to do. But I think your kids will respect you for that. You know why? Because they now understand, oh, dad is wrong too. He makes mistakes too. I'll tell you what, my dad never made any mistakes. It didn't matter what he did. And sometimes they just say, dad. I mean, I was already a teenager. Dad, come on. Even after I married, dad, just to say you're wrong, he's dead wrong, you would not budge. You would not budge. Because, I mean, I think that he thought he was weak on that. But let me tell you, it's respect is earned. And I believe this man Boaz earned respect. So, Naomi taught Ruth how to treat her husband with respect. Both Naomi and Ruth recognized that Boaz was a man to be respected. Now, there are several reasons why Boaz commended respect. Letter A, Boaz knew how to have fun. All right. So what's got to do with respect? Look at verse 7. And when Boaz has eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid at her feet. So it says that he ate and drunk. So in the end of the harvest, there was a festival there. And let me tell you this, he had fun and he enjoyed it. Let me tell you, just because you're a man of integrity and godly character doesn't mean that you don't have fun. We ought to have fun. We have to have joy in our hearts. God give us a wonderful world. Have fun with your spouse. Have fun with your kids. Have fun. Enjoy it. I mean, don't tell me. Don't come to me and say that Jesus never smiled. All right? Don't come tell me that the apostles never smart. They never had a good time together. Look at the Gospels, and you're going to tell me if he didn't have. I mean, we always easy even say God have a sense of humor. Yes, he does. So harvest time in the Palestine was always a time of festivities and enjoyment. Actually, in Isaiah 9:3 it says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy, their joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." So we can tell every time at the end of the harvest, they always had this wonderful festival celebrating the goodness of the Lord. And let me tell you, every day is a wonderful day for you and I to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Sing to him. Praise his name. Smile to life. And you say to me, "You don't know my problems." No, you don't know mine either. So you have problems, Pastor? So everybody has problems. We live in a problem, you know, we don't live in a problem-free world. But if you're going to just submerge in your problems, you will never smile. Smile to life and the problems will come and go. Listen. Let me put it like this. The Lord have a sense of humor, okay? If you live in a problem-free world, it would be a boring world. You say, really? I'm telling you, we got to have the problems. We got to have the challenge of life so you can work on it and overcome it. And let me tell you, a lot of times when we overcome those problems, it makes us better people. Got to have those problems of life. And some of them, my is like, "Oh, I wish this one never came to me." But it's got to have, you know, we got to have this thing. Let me tell you. Do you like the ocean? Do you like to swim in the ocean? All right. Let me put it this way. You go to the ocean to swim, and the ocean is like always flat. It's going to come to a point you're going to say, "I wish it was some big waves." And when the big waves come, you go, "Oh, goodness, how am I going to?" That's the problem, man. You got to find out how you're going to overcome that wave. That's the way life is. Life has problems, and, you know, we overcome it. So, Boaz was a man who knew how to have a good time. He rejoiced with them that rejoice. Let me tell you this. We have our lunch here the last Sunday of every month. Let me tell you this. It's a time to rejoice together, to have fun, to enjoy each other. See, some men never gained the respect of the family, and a lot of it is due to the fact that they never take the necessary time to have fun. So it's cold outside. And you sit on the sofa and pouting. Go do something. Oh, it's cold outside. Put some clothes on and go play out there. Go make a snowman. Go throw snowballs at each other. You see, have fun. Go make a little fire in the backyard. Just listen. God gave you this world. God gave you this day. Enjoy it. Have fun. So listen, folks. It's not a sin to laugh and have a good time. Some people think it's a sin to laugh. "Oh, if I laugh, oh, I'm sinning against God." No. God created the smile, right? It's not like something mankind invented. Go and enjoy the world that God created. Go and enjoy the salvation that God has given you. Go and enjoy each day that God made for you. The Christian life is to be a life of joy and gratitude. So go ahead and have a good time with your spouse, with your kids. And if you're the family of one, with yourself, go have fun. With your church family, laugh and have a good time. God is good. Put one of those Christian songs, blast the radio, and sing it out loud as you can as you drive along. People go, "What's wrong with that guy?" "Oh, I'm having a good time." We shouldn't stop laughing. See, Boaz joined in the fun of the harvest. Hey, sometimes, you know, I'm at work and my body is about like where Frank is. He's working right there and I'm here. And the song comes on and I'm there. My back is towards him like this, and I'm start singing, and he's over there singing. I turn around, I'm like, "That was a good song." Yeah, I go, "Oh, yeah." Having a good time. Let it be. Boaz knew how to rest. Then verse 7. When the time of the harvest was over, Boaz took a rest. In the due course of time, he lay down in the end of the heap of corn. When the work was over, Boaz rested. So we ought to know, we got to know how to have a good time with life, but it's also a time also so that we need rest. We need to take a rest from the affairs of life. Sometimes, you know, our mind needs rest. Sometimes, you know, we just need to sit on the sofa for a time. Listen, if you work, and you just take a day off and say, I'm just going to sit on my sofa for the rest of the day. You're not a lazy person. You're just resting. And sometimes we need that. You know, I don't get this. There's people on my job like this. Some people have like 4 weeks vacation, and they don't take one day off. They work all year round. So they can cash that money in at the end of the year. I said to them, I said, listen, the company give you these days. Why don't you take a rest? Go take a rest, you know, and clear your mind. Some people don't see it that way. See, there are many men out there who do not know how to rest. They are workaholics. And sometimes I think I'm one of them. I just keep going like the Energizer Bunny. It just goes and goes and keeps going. So they constantly burn the midnight oil and never take the necessary rest that they need. Actually, Psalm 127, verse 2, this hit me hard, this one. It says, it is in vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for it is given as beloved sleep. And let me tell you this, the first part of the verse, that's me. It is in vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. That is me. I get up early and I go to bed late. So many men rise up early and sit up late. So they're burning the candle on both ends. That's what it does. So God says, if you take the necessary rest that you need, I can give you even, but you need some sleep. Let me tell you this. Sometimes I feel that way. You know, you get up in the morning, you feel like you're still tired. You feel like, oh, goodness. Actually, this morning was one of those mornings, and I almost make a big mistake. I get up like a quarter to 4 or 3:45 in the morning to get to work at 5. And the first thing I did, I was still tired. And the first thing I did was, I think the Lord was good to me because it caught two other people's attention, and they came to me and told me. And I was like, oh, I'm glad. I was praising the Lord for them because they helped me up. But sometimes when you're too tired, your mind isn't focused, is not focused right. You don't think right. So you need rest. You need rest. So the sleep of laboring may be of a laboring man is sweet. God expects us to take the necessary rest that you need and each and every day. So Boaz commanded respect because he was a man that knew how to have a good time, but he also knew how to rest. You know, if you still having a good time all night and didn't sleep all night, the next day you would be very tired. You ever lost a night's sleep and go on 2 days without sleeping? Frank knows all about that, right, Frank? So Boaz commanded respect because he knew how to take rest, and so Ruth came quietly. The Bible says the word softly in verse 7. Doesn't mean secretly as much as it means quietly. Ruth came when he fell asleep and quietly walked and laid at his feet. So the same word, and that's a good way to propose to a man, huh? Oh, strange traditions. So the same word is used of David when he cut off Saul's shirt in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 4. Now, it implies that Ruth waited for Boaz to fall asleep, and then she slipped in or softly came in. And then the impression left was that Boaz slept for some time before discovering Ruth. And the Bible says at midnight, Boaz was afraid. Now, the Hebrew word translated here, afraid, simply means to tremble. He was not afraid of being alone. He was just, let me put it this way, the way I wrote it here. I personally don't believe that Boaz was scared as much as I believe he was cold. He woke up because she uncovered his feet. His feet got cold, and somewhere, because his feet got cold, he woke up. Otherwise, he probably would sleep all night. And when he woke up, he saw that But you have to think this way. It's not like it was a nightlight there. It was pitch dark. So of course, he probably didn't even recognize who it was. That's why he asked the question, who are you? Who's there? So he's not expecting to find some woman at his feet in the middle of the night. Now, probably you might think that Boaz would be mad to see this woman lying there. Would you? If you are sleeping outdoors and you wake up in the middle of the night and you see this woman sitting right there at your feet, how would you react? Strange way, wasn't it? Would you be mad? Would you be scared? Would you run for cover? Would you think it was a ghost or something? So what in the world does she think she's doing here? Who are you? He asks. But Ruth diffuses Boaz by giving him respect. Ruth is not asking anything for granted. She still acts in a gracious humility. She says, Boaz, I'm just your handmaid. Can you believe that? She just said, I'm your handmaid. She said, I'm just your midservant, Ruth. So by speaking the way she did, she's actually showing respect to him. And I think it goes a long way. I think in churches, in a workplace, in a homes, it goes a long way in our relationships with people if we respect one another. I think a lot of people don't respect other people. I mean, some people do something to you, thank you. That should be right to come out of our mouth. Thank you. Your kids do something to you, thank you. Oh, yeah, they're my kid. They have to do it. No, say thank you. They feel appreciated. They feel like you respect them. Hey, I tell my grandson, hey, Alex, thank you. Just maybe it's just me, but I mean, it's she's right here. She goes to the end. He wakes up, and she says that to you, handmaid, Ruth. And then Ruth says, spread your shirt over me. So now, whenever the word skirt, is singular, it refers to a skirt. But whenever the word skirt is plural in the Old Testament, it refers to wings. According to Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So the word translated wings here is the same word translated skirt, or skirt in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. So Ruth once again gives reverence to Boaz. She is a little defenseless woman, the weaker vessel, wants to rest under the big, strong wings of a man. And then Ruth concludes by reminding Boaz of who he is. The Bible says, according to this word, you are my Goel. That's a Hebrew word, or my kinsman redeemer. So Ruth brags up Boaz's title right here. She shows respect. Actually, the word there, Goel, she shows tremendous respect to him. And let me tell you, that word reverence means much more than respect. It means reverence him. Your husband is to be reverenced. Let me put it like this. One of the things that most husbands want from a wife is respect. They want that woman, whenever that woman goes or their wife goes, to respect his name. One of the worst things that a woman can do towards her husband is disrespect him. I mean, I can be disrespect in a physical sense, but can so be disrespect with her mouth. Trashing your husband to other people. I tell you what, I praise the Lord for my wife. I never heard this day. I've been married for already past 30 years. I never heard my wife say a down word to me in front of my mother-in-law or in front of even my whole family. And I respect her for that. But let me tell you, am I perfect? I'm far from that. But let me tell you, one of the things that every husband wants is respect. They want to be respected. And let me tell you, Ruth's not even married to this man right here. She shows reverence and respect for him for who he is. Some people say like this, if you only know my husband. Well, Now, there are some husbands you don't deserve. Listen to this. And I'm seeing this outright. There are some husbands who don't deserve an ounce of respect for their way, for the way they treat their wives. Let me put it this way. If a husband puts a hand physically on that wife, that man is, I personally don't respect such a person. You keep your hands to yourself. You can talk. But let me tell you, there are many husbands out there that they don't deserve an ounce of respect for the way they treat their spouses. A husband should never put his fingers in physical harm his wife or his children. A husband should never disrespect his wife. It goes both ways. Like I said, respect is earned. You don't just walk in and say, respect me. Respect is earned. You earn respect by the person that you are. So number one, we spend a little bit of time on this one. Boaz described respect. Number two, Boaz praises Ruth. We see this from verse 10 to verse 11. So we see right here, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. Look at the respect, the praises that he says to her right here. He calls her daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning, and as much as thou follow thy young man, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that requires for all the city of my people. Do know that thou art a virtuous woman. You see that? Not only she respects him, he doesn't like to try to take advantage of her. But let me tell you, the way she is as a woman, the whole town knows about who she is. And they call her, and even he says right here, you are a virtuous woman. Now, if you want to know as a virtuous woman, no. You need to go to Proverbs 31. You're going to see what a virtuous woman is. And this Moabite woman right here is described by this man, Ruth, Boaz, as a virtuous woman. So he praises her. So letter A, he praises Ruth's deeds in verse 10. So the first thing Boaz does is calls down blessing on Ruth. He praises her. And the first thing he praises her is for what she has done. Boaz thinks that Ruth has shown more kindness now than at first when she came. So when Ruth first came, she took care of Naomi. She gleaned in the field, providing for her mother-in-law. But now Ruth had taken the step further and as willing to provide a place that Naomi desperately needed. So truly, Ruth has been kind to Naomi. So the word kindness is the Hebrew word right here for hesed. So this word appears repeatedly in the book of Ruth. It carries with the idea of love and loyalty. So Ruth was been very faithful to Naomi and Boaz, praises. But interesting that not only Ruth respects Boaz here, but he turns around and he praises her. Let me tell you, folks, we should have praises towards our wives, those of us who are married here. Praise her for being a mother of our children, for taking care of our children, taking care of the home, taking care of us. I mean, I got home, I don't know about you, I don't wash my clothes. I put it like this. I am so blessed beyond imagination. When I was a young kid, I had a maid, it was my mom. I got married, I got another maid, it's my wife. So I walk home and my clothes is already hang up. She, you know, and what you gonna say to a person like that? Thank you. I really appreciate it. You have to have words of praise. I mean, we have to. And let me tell you, not only she respected him, but he praises her name. And I think it is wonderful when both men and women do that. She respects him, he praises her. She respects him, he praises her. I think it makes for a good marriage, isn't it? Honey, you wash the dishes, thank you. Oh, that was a good meal. Thank you. All these little things. You made my lunch. Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. You cleaned the house. Listen, we need to walk in that house and look. Don't be oblivious. You got to look. Oh, wow. You vacuumed the carpets. Thank you. The house looks nice. You know, all these things. We praise them so they don't feel like, you know, he doesn't care. Because the person that you should care the most as a husband is your wife. The person she should care the most is her husband. Folks, that's how marriages last. Otherwise, they don't last. So I don't believe for a moment here that Ruth was doing all this work just to get a pat in the back and be recognized by men. I believe that Ruth was a kind and loving woman and with a willing spirit. She knew her mother-in-law was an elderly lady, and she was willing to help her. And let me tell you, doing that, it caused the whole town of Bethlehem to talk about her. She didn't have to do that, but she did. Question. Do you pay attention to all that your wife does? Do you take notice? Do you praise her for all the things she does for you? Guys, I think that is a good thing if we get into the habit of praising our wives. I think so. Let it be. He praises Ruth's looks. Look what it says. And as much as thou followest thy young man, whether poor or rich. So in the later part of the verse 10 right here, Boaz praises Ruth because she has not gone after the young man. The word translated young carries the idea of a choice man. Ruth could have had the pick of the litter, so to speak. She's probably a beautiful woman, and she could have just picked, and probably some guys around her, but guess what? He praises her for not going after the guys. Listen. Okay, let's be honest here, okay? So you like this young lady, and you like her enough to marry her. Now, if you saw her hanging around with all other guys, how would that make you feel? She doesn't like me. Isn't that, you know, some people, oh, I have my friends. This guy over here doesn't want your friends. He wants you for him. They say, well, that's old age. You're like, well, it works every time. It doesn't get old, believe me. It doesn't get old. See, we live in a young generation that say, oh, this is the way it is, we do it right now. That's why we have so many divorces. It doesn't work that way. A guy wants a woman for him, not to be shared with others. I'm not saying a physical sense. He wants her there. And Boaz says that right here. So Ruth had to not gone after the young man of the village. Ruth could not have had anybody in the whole blooming town. So she was, of course, she probably liked Boaz, but she was a woman of a godly woman, and she was known in town, even though she was a Moabite. See, some men will never compliment their wives. It don't matter how beautiful they may look. Now, what is wrong about complimenting one's wife? Don't ever say to your wife, you used to be beautiful. Don't ever say that. All right? You're probably going to sleep up in the driveway for some time. Listen. But what is wrong about complimenting one's wife? Honey, you look beautiful. Honey, I love your dress. Honey, you look beautiful in this dress. I like your hair. What's wrong with that? Listen, they want that. They want that. It's not by mistake that your wife comes to the husband and say, do I look good? Do you like my dress? What about the shoes? Does it match? What they want? They want compliments. They want compliments. You know, listen, see, some guys are like this. They're like, on fire when they're dating, and then when they get married, they forget all those things. Listen, when I tell my wife, you know, we're going out to dinner, most of the time she goes and dresses up. She comes out, and sometimes I scratch my head and said, honey, we're just going to have dinner. I made that mistake already once. I don't say that anymore, okay? I just say, oh, you look nice. All right, that's good. I'm going to change. You know, you see it, you compliment it, and you go change accordingly. You know? I give you a story. One time my wife comes out, we were going to have dinner, and she comes out, And I walk in the closet and I wouldn't put a suit on. I came out with a tie. I was like, and then she was all smiles. I was like, you know. But listen, nothing wrong about complimenting one's wife. Tell her often, you're beautiful. I love you. Tell her you look beautiful today. My wife said to me one time, I don't like when I wake up in the morning, my hair is like this way. I said, honey, you're always beautiful. Don't matter if you stay in bed or not in bed, if you have makeup or not. He's just beautiful. You know, he just tried to make me feel good. Yes! Exactly. Of course. That's our job. Oh, okay. Let us see. He praises Ruth's character. Right there in verse 11, the end of the verse, and it says, all the city of my people do know that thou art a virtuous woman. So Boaz tells Ruth not to be afraid, because he will do for her all that he asks. And that she asks, I'm sorry. And Boaz gives as a reason the fact that Ruth is a woman of outstanding character. Let me tell you, that's one thing lacking in people today. They have no character. Integrity, forget it. The character is far from the person. But let me tell you, there's not many people like that in these days. It appears that Ruth had become quite known to all the villagers. As a matter of fact, the word translated city is also used to mean the city gate right here. The Palestinian town, the place where business was done, was at the city gates. And of course, because it was small towns, a guy would go there. He, if it was something that his wife and his kids did, it would be known at the city gates. So Boaz would go to city gates and he heard the character of Ruth. And you can see right here, he goes side and side. He respects her. He praises her. So number three, we see Boaz protects Ruth. So guys, one of the things that most women want. Listen, I said this earlier. I said, we're going a little long on this. I said, one of the things that men want is respect, right? Mm-hmm. That's one thing that men really desires from their wives is be respected, that they respect them. But one thing that women like from their husbands is this. They want to feel secure. Most women want to be secure in their home. They want to feel protected by their husband. Unfortunately, some men don't offer much protection to their wives. But that's what woman desires. They want their man to be there, to take care of them. So letter A, you see, he becomes Ruth's legal protector. Look at verse 12. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, albeit there is a kinsman near that I. And in this verse, Boaz affirms with some emphasis that he's certainly a kinsman. So Boaz employs a form here of speech to give emphasis right here. He is happy than a June bug, so to speak, out of the last day of May, right, so to speak. But he is his kinsman, and in a legal way, he said, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to make sure that I legalize this thing so I can be your kinsman redeemer. But he knows there's somebody ahead of them. But he said, I'm going to the city gates, and I'm going to take care of this. And he did it. You know why? Because he's a man of integrity. When a man is of integrity, a man says, I'll do it, and I do it. A man of integrity keeps his word. Even if it's costly, he keeps his word. If you are a person that you don't keep your word, you're not a person of integrity. See, integrity is something that we learn. I tell you that, I learned that before I even became a Christian. My mom and dad, my grandpa and my grandma, they were people of their word. They would never go against their word, and I learned from that. And of course, as a kid, sometimes you were just got caught in a lie, and of course, especially my grandfather, he would come hard on you. He'd go, "Don't you ever lie to me, young man." Well, that was a scary one. So he learned those things. So he promised her that he would legalize that situation, and he did. So let it be. He becomes Ruth's physical protector. Then verse 13, it says, and it tarried this night, but it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman well, and let him do the kinsman part. But he says, tarry here all night. Why in the world Boaz tells Ruth, after he wakes up and finds Ruth there, why he tells her to stay there? Well, listen, it was not like our days. That was pitch dark at night. He's not going to let this woman walk home by herself. So he said, stay here. Why? For he was not trying to take advantage of her. It was to protect her. Would you let a person go home by herself? You see, we have to be careful with those things. So here we see that he tries to protect her in a physical sense right here. Let us see, he becomes Ruth's psychological protector here. Look at verse 13, and do the part of a kinsman to thee. Then in verse 18 it says, then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. So psychologically, he says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. You see, this is a man of integrity. He promised those things, and you know what? He does it. And listen, that's what we have to do as husbands and wives. Especially the guys, if we are people of integrity, when we speak to our kids, when we say something to them, do it. Don't go home hoping that they forgot. They don't forget. Or even to our wives, do it. Or even to our friends and family or co-workers, be a person of integrity. It means when you say something, you feel that. This guy right here tells Ruth like this, you know what, I'm going to take care of it. And he goes and does it. He keeps his promise. Let it be. He becomes Ruth's spiritual protector. Look in verse 14. And he says, and she laid at his feet until morning, and she rose up before one could know another, because it's pitch dark, of course, early in the morning. And he said, let it not be known that a woman came to the floor. Why he told her to leave at that point? Listen, if they look, see Ruth comes out of a place where Boaz was, what they're going to think of her? Oh, you know what? Look at that virtuous woman. You laid with her, with them all night. And he said, you go home now so people don't talk. Because they knew that nothing happened there, but you go home now so it wouldn't be seen by anybody. At that point, it was so dark that if you go home now, nobody's going to recognize you. That's somebody that cares, isn't it? So they didn't want to give her a bad name. He becomes Ruth's financial protector. We see this from verse 15 to verse 17 here. Boaz did not want his wife to return from her night adventures empty-handed. So he told her to fletch the cloth and hold it up. And obviously, the reference is not to a veil. A veil could not hold that much grain. So he makes sure that she takes enough home with her so she could have food to eat. And let me tell you, that's a man that cares. Let me tell you, as a husband, that's exactly what we are commanded to do. Listen, let's go back to these points right here. And we're almost done, okay? A husband is to be the legal protector of his wife. In his family. He got to take care of those things. Let it be. He becomes Ruth's physical protection. Who needs to protect his family? The husband needs to be there. All right? He needs to be the guy. Everybody has to. The door. Somebody wants to harm your family, you're there to defend your family. He becomes Ruth's psychological protector. You know what? We need to make our place with our marriages, a place with our wives, our ease with their minds. They trust you. He becomes Ruth's spiritual protector. It's not the wife that tells the husband to go to church. It's the husband that tells the family to go to church. It's the husband that opens the Bible. It's the husband that tells, let's have devotions together. That's the husband that says, let's pray. That's the husband initiative, not the wife. Unfortunately, it happens the opposite. He becomes Ruth's financial protection. What the Bible says about this? Folks, let me tell you this. If your wife works, praise her as much as you can, because she's helping you financially. God calls you to be the provider for your home. But if you, I understand the way we live. I'm not naive to what's going on in our society and how many families need two incomes in order to survive. But if your wife goes out of the home to do that, you praise her because she comes home and she has another job to give the home. We need to praise them. You know why? Because they're helping us doing something that God calls us to do. And I conclude with this. Folks, integrity and character is something very hard to find. Believe me. But if you want to learn to be a person of, or a man of in character and integrity, you need to look at the life of Boaz. Boaz was a man of his word. And when he talked to Ruth, Ruth believed him because he was a man of his word. And let me tell you, our children, our spouses should know that we are people of our word. When a wife says, my husband says that, she believes that because she knows that he is a man of his word. When our children said, my dad said that, they believe in that because they believe dad is a man of his word. That's a person of integrity. In a workplace, same thing. We go there to work, not to get a free paycheck. Unfortunately, we live in our day, many people think just show up and they already deserve to get paid. We go there to work. And work, and when we do work with honesty, we show that we have integrity and character. Unfortunately, it's something that we don't see in our day. But we can learn. As Christians, we can learn to be people of integrity and character. And I think we can make a better world like that. If you say, I work in a place nobody has have integrity or character, be one. Be one in your home. Be one in your church. Be one in your workplace. Be that person. Be a Boaz. Be like that. For the ladies, oh goodness, go read Proverbs 31. Wow. If you read Proverbs 31, what a great passage for a lady, the way she should be as a wife to her husband. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this lesson. We went a little longer tonight, but we praise your name for it, and help me personally to be a person of integrity.